Welcome back to the Voices of Women Summit, where in honor of International Women's Day 2025, we are raising the voices of hundreds of women so their messages can be heard. Your host for this session is Deborah Greenhut. Deborah is the Rational Caregiver Coach. She has a podcast, The Sharegiving Secret, and she was former Miss Freckle of Miami Beach in 1954. She's got another amazing guest coming right up. Take it away, Deborah.
All right, we're ready to go. So welcome, everybody. It's great to have you here today. And we have another important, exciting guest coming up. And that is Laura Richards, who's with me here. Hope you all can see her. Laura is an international podcaster, a best-selling author, and a speaker who's dedicated to empowering women. And she's going to focus on her best-selling book today, Married to a Nice Guy, Getting Over Narcissistic Abuse. So Laura's going to share her personal journey and other important things that we need to know. And her journey was about recovery from a 32-year marriage to a narcissist. Now, audience, I know you probably have a lot of questions about this, so please put them in the chat as they occur to you, and we will do our best to try to get to some of those. So we're going to talk about how to get over narcissistic abuse. Laura, welcome. I want to ask you what was it that prompted you? I think I know a little bit, but what prompted you to become an expert in this area?
Yeah, it came from my own personal journey. I did not think that after I got divorced that I would become an expert in the field, like seriously, but you know, that's what happens. Life takes you in certain directions, right? And so many of us are doing things that are because of our personal journey. And I didn't even know that my ex-husband was a narcissist. I often say I was married 32 years and I didn't even know he was a narcissist. And it's a very common thing that happens. So we can talk more about that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate that you said that. Often we're attracted to someone and all things seem great at the beginning. And then later on, we discover some things and some more things. And how did this happen? Is that... that reaction. Right. How did I not see that? And yet we don't always know the signs of covert narcissism, do we? So could you say a bit about what we need to look for?
Sure. And I often talk about this every time I speak or even on my podcast, you know, covert, they're very sneaky, right? So that's why my book is called Married to a Quote Unquote Nice Guy, because everyone said he was so nice. But behind the scenes, he had a really big lack of empathy, to the point where he was almost apathetic. And this is a very common trait, especially of the covert narcissist. You know, it's really all about them. And then they're really breaking down. They're doing things to gaslight you, to minimize you so that you don't seem bigger than they are. You're not better than they are. They sure tell you that. You know, you're not allowed to. They do want you to be successful in all these things, but then they break you down and say like, oh, well, anybody could have gotten that degree. Things that over time erode away your self-esteem. That's why 32 years, this is not uncommon, you know, for me to have stayed so long, because I just thought my husband is difficult. And then think about the people that are around you that are this way, because it's not just spouses. There could be friendships like this, that it's all about them and it's all about what they want. And you can't be better, quote unquote, better than them without them having an issue.
That's so true. And I appreciate that you said that it has an effect on our own self-identity, about how we feel about ourselves. And could you talk a bit about how that comes to be? It's not something that happens overnight. It's not like a lightning strike. But what happens to the person?
You know, they spend a lot of time invalidating you and minimizing you and your accomplishments, to the point where you almost feel like you're going crazy. And then you really are working on, you think, oh, I just need to work on my self-esteem, without realizing, because sometimes you don't realize that they are putting you down, or it's those snide remarks. So it's that questioning yourself with gaslighting, saying, I didn't do things like that. I don't know what you're talking about. Of course, I always support you, when they truly don't. And so your self-esteem gets so eroded, but it's a little bit at a time. That's why they call it death by a thousand cuts. It's a little at a time. And I have a guest that was on my show talking about the boiling frog syndrome and how, you know, when we that frog is in the tepid water and then you turn up the heat, they don't even realize they're being boiled. And that is what happens to us over time when you are around people who are not supporting you and just constantly invalidating and minimizing you.
That I've heard that before, especially about gaslighting, because I didn't even know what it was when I had my own experience living with a hoarder for 35 years. And that's part of that disorder as well. How do you break in? I know it's so hard. You love someone and you've committed to this marriage and you may have children or you may not, but you thought this was going to be your life. How do you get that in your head that no, it isn't?
Right. And that's the thing is that's a hard decision, isn't it? Because we are in our society in America, we are seen as like that you should commit and that, oh, there's so many divorces. So we commit. But I had to stop and think about it because everyone around me was married for forever. And I had to say to myself, if my life didn't change from what it is right now, could I continue living like this? And I couldn't continue living like this. And so you have to ask yourself that question. Who are you staying for one thing? And then are you still hoping that the person is going to change? Because a narcissist will never change. In fact, they hand it to you on a silver platter and tell you, I don't have a problem. You do. And you should get help. And they often hand us those red flags on a silver platter. And finally, one day I decided, I can't live another day like this. Because I thought, what if I live another 40 years? Am I going to live like this? And I couldn't. And so that's the question I had to ask myself. And it's very useful for even friendships or a job you have or a career that you're following. Say, do I really want to do this for another 40 years? And if you don't, then it might be time to make a change.
That's interesting. It seems like there's sort of an uphill curve to recognizing, oh my goodness, this is what I'm in. And then you go along for many years. And then there's a possibly a long curve to repeating to yourself, no, I don't want this. No, I don't want this. And
right.
Eventually you get there. So once you're out, do you keep your same friends? Does life go on? Does it resume where it was before that marriage? What happens to a person who breaks out of it?
Well, I sure thought that. I sure thought that, oh, I'm getting rid of the quote unquote problem, right? But what you find is once you leave, you have to start working on the parts that were broken down because you will notice that you are maybe in a really low place. You're feeling bad. Of course, we're going to have a low time anyway after any divorce, but I just felt my self-esteem was so low. And as I started healing myself and also working on healthy boundaries, that is when I started to come out and be the person that I was meant to be. And then there will be people around you who don't always think that that's great because you are changing. When you are healing and growing, which I recommend everyone do, heal and grow. You know, when we are healing and growing, the people around us may not always like that because you are changing from the person that they know. And without ever saying, look, I want you to be a different way. We may not say that to our friends, but they will see that, oh, that person is changing and that doesn't work for me. Because when I started setting healthy boundaries, the people who were taking advantage of me not having boundaries were not understanding, like, who is Laura now? And but that's who I needed to be. That was my ultimate act of self-love, was learning healthy boundaries.
So that decision to move forward isn't a straight line either. And I think that's what maybe keeps some of us back from making the final decision to do it. But
right.
Any advice for those who, I know there's a lot of agreement in the chat. I'm looking there, people are agreeing with you. So, but is there any advice for someone who is trying to move forward? How do you persist when you're getting all that pushback? Because people are used to you the way you used to be.
Right. So it sounds selfish in our society to say you have to think about yourself, but it's true. You have to think about who do you want to be in this world? And if you are, I speak to women in midlife, when I work with people in midlife, look, we've probably been shape-shifting all of our life to be the perfect daughter. Now we were the perfect wife or whatever we were, or a particular wife, but maybe the perfect wife, the perfect employee, all the things. Who do you want to be when you stop and you look in the mirror? And so that is what has to keep you motivated. You may not know, like I didn't know that a podcast and any of this was at the end of the road, but I just said, I can't be the person who allowed others to walk all over me to the point where I didn't even know who I was, what I even liked, you know, on an enchilada. I had no idea. Did I like red or green? Who knows? Because that wasn't a decision I made. I let everyone walk all over me and make those decisions for me. So you keep motivated by remembering your goals. And they might be simple goals that I want to be a runner now. I want to be a painter now. Whatever your goals are, they do not have to be life-changing. But think about those things. Who were you even as a little girl? What did you love doing that society or your marriage or other factors stopped you from continuing to do?
Those are great tips. And I notice you're focused on action. It's the feelings that got us into this problem, the complicated feelings.
Yes.
But if you take action away, it sounds like that's a good way to start the repair process for yourself. Remember what you liked to do. Yeah.
That yes.
sounds great. Now
you really have to, because we can look, we need the time to heal and rest and sit in our feelings and go through all the emotions. We have to feel the emotions, but then it's time to stand up and move forward. And then you're going to fall down again too. You're still going to be sad and you're still going to, it's okay to, because healing, we all know like grief is not linear, and it is, you are grieving. It's a big, messy, intertwined circle, and that's okay. But you do have to take action, because we want to go towards the life that we always wanted.
I want to make sure that we give you a chance to talk about the free gift that you're giving to all our listeners today. So let's do that now so we don't run out of time.
Sure. You know, I want to help you. I want to come alongside of you and give you some tips. And I like to talk to people. So I'm giving a one-on-one call. No more sleepless nights, because I know for me that when I first started healing, 3 o'clock in the morning, what does our subconscious do? Wakes us up. Let's think about the worst thing that could happen. And I love talking to people about what are you going through and how can we strategize so that you can feel better and not have any more sleepless nights. We don't need those 3 o'clock in the morning wake up calls. Your anxiety is waking you up for a reason. So let's talk about it and see how we can strategize together to move forward.
That safety net will be so important to so many people. And I'm thrilled that there are so many people on the line today with us who can take advantage of that call if they need it. And don't be too proud. You need to have someone to
talk. That's right. Yes. I love chit-chatting with everybody. So come and get on a call with me and let's talk about it. Let's see how you're feeling.
Right. Don't wait till the middle of the night for sure.
Right. Don't call me at 3.
Now, I want to tell everyone that our next speaker is going to be Jesse Rothman Church, who's talking about From Darkness to Destiny, How a Soul Contract Reading Transformed My Life. And at this time, before we close out, Laura, I want to give you back the floor for one last word. And I know how much you are helping people. So thanks again for being here today.
Thank you so much, Deborah. You know, I want to remind everybody that your voice matters. When you've been in abuse, you have been told you're too much, you're too loud, you're too emotional, all the things. You've been silenced, maybe you've been belittled, but I want you to remember your thoughts, your opinions, and your feelings are important, and your voice matters. Go out and use it.
That's great. It looks like we have some extra time for questions. So
okay, great.
We'll wait and see if anyone is in the chat who has a question.
I hope so.
I hope so too, because you're right here, right now.
If not, I'd be glad to talk about something else.
All right, you can give us another last. Oh, we have a couple of questions coming. That's great. So what was one part of your healing that surprised you? That's a good one.
The part I mentioned a little bit earlier was I thought I was getting rid of the quote unquote problem and that I would just walk right out of my divorce and it would be just nothing. But what we have to remember is we are grieving. So we have to give ourselves grace and give ourselves time. Butterflies don't happen overnight. So give yourself time.
All right. That's a good piece of advice. Give yourself time. Time heals. They say time heals all wounds. Maybe not all of them, but it will.
No, but it helps. I like to say time helps.
Yeah. So we also have the question, I'm walking around still meeting narcissistic people. Does that mean I'm not healed?
No, they're everywhere and you're going to find them. But once you learn your healthy boundaries, they won't affect you as much. And when you know your worth and value, they're not going to affect you as much because you'll know how to interact with them and you'll know, to limit your time with them. But yes, they're everywhere. You can't stop it.
Was there anything that surprised you about your healing that you didn't expect?
Yes. And I think I may have just answered that one.
Anything else that surprised you? Sorry.
How tired I was. You know, when you have been in abuse, even if you don't realize you've been in abuse, you're going to be very tired. When we grieve, our body wants to reset, our nervous system wants to reset and regulate. And sleep is one of those ways. And so don't fight that. Go ahead and take those naps if you need it, because your body and your nervous system is regulating and we need that.
Yeah, I think that does that tie in with the ways that you should handle a narcissist in the situation in terms of conserving your energy? Is there something you could add about that?
Well, yes. I mean, fighting with them is futile. And so, yes, there's the gray rock method, which you don't engage. And so if you do, especially family members, if you are still in contact with narcissistic family members, you just answer questions with simple answers. Okay. You know, because it's really about them and they're going to pick the fight. So using the gray rock method, and that information is available in a lot of places. And that really helps when dealing with a narcissist.
Can you talk a little bit about what happens if you don't leave?
Well, what happened to me was I was ready to not be on this earth anymore. And so you have to think about your mental health, because if nothing changes in your life, could you live the rest of your life the way it is? Don't stay just because society thinks you're giving up. Don't stay because others are saying that you're giving up. You have to think about yourself and what's best for you. And there are people out there, me included, who can help you with that process and thinking about, I don't want to say the pros and cons because that doesn't work, helping you make the right decision for you and taking the next right step for you.
Can you trust your heart?
We have been so conditioned as women, you know, it's so hard because we've been societalized for the fairy tale and the being swept off our feet. And it's really hard because that love bombing really will trick you. And so we have to really sometimes think about it logically. And so, yeah, because our heart, like I was trauma bonded, and many of us in abuse are trauma bonded where we love the person who's also abusing us. And that's a really hard. So your heart is not always the best indicator in that case.
So it's really okay to make that decision. Yeah. And you don't have to be perfect in that decision.
If you're
waiting for the perfect moment.
If you're waiting for the perfect moment, you already know your answer. You already know there is no perfect moment. We make our moments. So there's no perfect answer. And you know what? Borrow my courage. Just do it. I didn't even think I would do it. And I did. But I did it to survive.
Do you need to have a plan when you step away?
I think it's a great idea to have a plan. And there's a lot of people in my resource list on my website, which you will get when you get the free gift, that will give you tons of ways to make a plan. And there's, of course, the domestic violence hotline always can help you with making a plan. If that's really, even if you're not being physically abused, emotional abuse is still abuse. And there you might need a plan to get out.
What if you don't have time to make a plan?
Run for your life, find a trusted friend And because I often say that to people who are like, this is happening. And often have I said, run for your life. If you have a trusted friend, they often isolate you. But if you have those trusted friends, find somebody to help you. There are people around you who can help you. The domestic violence hotline. I have tons of resources on my website so that if you need financial help, you need all the, there's so many ways that people can help you regardless of what situation you're in.
That's great. And there's a lot of love coming to you in the chat.
Oh, yay. Someone thank you.
About your statement, there is no perfect moment. We make our moments.
Yeah, we do. And I had a friend, she was on my podcast as well. And she said she was going to leave after Christmas because she had decorated the house and everything looked beautiful. And she left before Christmas because her moment was when she just couldn't take it one more day. And that's when you know you are done. You are going to leave. That's your perfect moment. When you know you're done, is that that's when you're going to leave. She left. She said, my house was decorated to the nines for Christmas and I took my kids and left. She says, I couldn't do one more day.
Yeah, I think there's something, there's a kind of closure in doing that ceremonial one last thing. I know that I did that.
Yeah.
One last thing, put everything in place because we like to have things in place and say,
right,
I'm done.
You know, and I think that people are worried about for the kids. And look, my kids were grown and I have to tell you, they saw it all. Okay. And so they told my grown children actually said to me, Mom, we're so proud of you for leaving. And so we think that they're not being affected, but they are. And the statistics show do not stay for the children because it's better for them to be safe and in separate households than to be for you to stay for them.
Well, we have a lot of people who are going right along with that program in the chat, and they're telling their stories of how they left.
So
I hope you'll save the chat for yourself before we get off. These are priceless moments. And the more we share them, I think the more courage we're going to have about doing what's right for us, which is not a bad thing to do at all. There may be forces in the culture that say don't do it, but you still have to be okay with yourself. So
yes.
I really enjoyed speaking with you today. Let's give you one more opportunity to talk about your free gift since we truncated there a few minutes ago.
Oh, sure. So it's called No More Sleepless Nights, and it's a free call with me to strategize about how you're feeling, where you're at right now in your life, in your relationship, and we'll just talk about it. I'll come alongside you to help you on your journey, and we can just talk about how you're feeling and where you're at.
This is so great. So our next speaker coming up is going to be Jesse Rothman Church, who's speaking about soul contracts as a way to heal. So I think that fits in very nicely. I hope some of you will stick around for the next track. And Laura, I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for sharing your story and for demonstrating how you can heal. So if you have one last word, you can go for it. We got time.
Okay. Remember, your voice matters. You're not too much for the people who are perfect for your life. Your voice matters. Go out and use it.
That's terrific. It's been a wonderful day. Thank you so much, everyone, for attending this session. We hope you'll stick around for the next one.
Thanks, Deborah.
Wow, that was an amazing speaker. For replays of this talk and all the talks, plus an incredible gift bundle, upgrade to VIP now. If you have any questions or problems during the summit, you can always email our support team at support@voicesofwomensummit.com. Stay tuned. We have another fantastic speaker coming right up.